Okay, so this is the Cap Figure Podcast. I'm Ryan DiPaolo, and you know, for this week we have a really special guest again. Last week we got Mike Francesa.
Really?
Yeah, really. And as you can hear, Stephen A. Smith is here. Stephen, what were your thoughts on our CC Sabathia segment last week? You know, he went to rehab, and he gets out, and now he's doing well.
Your livelihood, millions of dollars, and you can't stay off the weed.
Well, he's sober now, so you're harping on the past, but also it wasn't weed. It's a small detail, but he went in for alcoholism.
Y'all trying to tell me that's a medical condition? Well, damn.
No.
What medical?
No.
I mean, who doesn't have that?
Wait, what was the what? What was the last part?
I mean, who doesn't have that?
What? What are you saying?
I mean, who doesn't have that?
Okay, I don't think those are words. I'm gonna drop it because last week my guest walked out on me.
And I'm supposed to feel sorry for you?
Not feel sorry for me. It was my first big interview. Like.
Really?
No. What?
Really?
Okay. I guess you're right. Okay, Steven. So I'm sure you don't remember me, but I interned at ESPN Radio actually when you had a show there. And okay, so I remember you said my hair was weird the day I interviewed, and this is true, but that my suit was good. Additionally, though, I'm going to give you a chance to clarify. So there was a time you called John, the producer of the show, into the room, and you said, John, there's a problem on my computer. I need help. He comes back into the room we're in after being with you, leaning over your shoulder and wiggling your mouse for a minute and clicking one thing, and he informs us that the screensaver was on. You called for help because your screensaver was on. You care to clarify?
No, I'm not doing it.
Well, but now's your chance to, you know, clear the air.
I'm not doing it. I'm done.
No, Steven, please. Come on, man. Please. It's my second guest. Oh. God, I don't know how many more of these big celebrity media types I'm going to get, but oh, God. For the Cap Figure Podcast, I'm Ryan DiPaolo. I guess I'm still going to use I don't even know. All right. Yeah, so that was Stephen A. Smith. Welcome to the Cap Figure Podcast, Episode 4. Tom, I'm sorry, man. I know. I was put on thin ice with my stock options with Mike Francesa, but Stephen A., he was kind of the cause of it, no?
Yeah, Stephen A. likes to rile up that kind of stuff. I'm looking for a host. There's actually a listing on Craigslist.
Whoa! Hey, you just started to sound like you had my back.
I do have your back until I could find somebody else.
Yeah, it's like I have my girlfriend's back until I find a better girlfriend, you know.
That's the way it works.
So, welcome to the Cap Figure Podcast again. You know, we had a little unintended sabbatical. Tom had to go to Cooperstown and do some research and be a third base coach, and I had to sell tickets. But we're back and better than ever, I hope. Today we're going to just... Really, the All-Star game is when, Monday or something?
Yeah, I think it's Tuesday.
Whatever. You know, very soon, which is a couple of days. We're recording this on a Thursday, I think.
Weekend's here.
And so we're going to go through, you know, I had the idea of, like, what's a fun way to go through our All-Star teams without just the typical, like, who would we vote for? And so I proposed to Tom that we each come up with our teams of all the players for each league. Tom has the AL, I have the NL, of players who are not on the All-Star rosters and not in the final vote and not on the bench. And so we're just going to unpack that. I guess the purpose for me would to be just the fun exercise of who could come up with the best backup All-Star team as opposed to like what league has the most talent, but it does explore that too.
It's the non-All-Star All-Star team?
Where? It's like the
Small star
team. Yeah, that's not bad. The B plus dude. So, you know, we got a lot of names to list here. So, I want to start with Tom's AL squad. Tom, yeah. Take us through. I want you to start, you know, in the outfield.
Yeah, so I'll jump right into it. The AL outfield. So, Not as many players, you know, in this as I would have hoped for, but my three outfielders are Lorenzo Cain,
ooh,
JD Martinez, and Jose Bautista.
Oh, that's good.
What's interesting about it is actually all three of them are currently on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
So
Literally? I didn't know that.
Yeah, all three of these players are currently on the 15-day DL.
Oh, God.
Which I think had a large part in the reason why the three of them aren't on the All-Star team.
You think?
To begin with. Yeah. And,
just lean in.
Yeah, so, you know, Bautista has played 65 games, strained his big left toe. JD Martinez has played 65 games. He fractured his right elbow running into the wall, which was a totally freak accident for those of you who haven't seen it. And Lorenzo Cain went onto the DL recently with a strained left hamstring. You know, Cain is one of my personal favorite players. I think Ryan knows that. He's, you know, one of the most athletic center fielders in the game. Arguably, you know, the second best defensive center fielder outside of Kevin Kiermaier on the Rays. He also, you know, provides a lot at the plate. 752 OPS, but mainly there for his defense first and foremost.
I thought your outfield, well, so now I'll do my outfield. I thought your outfield was going to be way worse than mine. Like, I felt all confident when I was doing this. Because I thought I'd be better than you. Like, Lorenzo Cain, that sounds awesome, even though they're hurt. So I have Christian Yelich, Andrew McCutchen, and Gregory Polanco. And you know, the Pirates, everybody knew all three of them could be All-Stars. I think Marte is on the final vote thing to get in.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, any of them could have been. McCutchen with his track record, you know. He only is hitting 722 OPS compared to his career 872, but he's McCutchen. You know, it's like Miguel Cabrera beating what's his name. Oh my God, who's the other AL candidate for first base? It was like based on career. Well, I'm having a brain fart.
Oh,
but
Miguel Cabrera. Well, I don't want to spoil my team.
Okay,
I know who you're talking
well,
about.
Well, whatever. But so it was like that, like that McCutchen didn't make it. I felt like he did over you know, like Piscotty I could have had on the team or whatever.
Sure.
Christian Yelich is awesome. Tom, you wrote about him. He has 37 walks already. He's 13th in on-base percentage in all of baseball. He's hitting .313 with an .859 OPS, and that's only with like six home runs or something. Like,
one of my favorite players.
Yeah, that's your boy.
In all of the majors, yeah.
And then Polanco, you know, hitting left-handed also, with an OPS of .877, 50 RBIs, and he's hitting .291. So I like your outfield's better, but I do like having two left-handed bats and a Hall of Famer, and you have
all three righties.
Yeah, all three righties. They're all kind of douchey. No, I'm joking. I don't know.
JD
Jose Martinez
is one of my favorite players in the majors.
He has a 5 o'clock shadow at like noon. Like he has the ill beard. Okay, so
And JD Martinez, you know, his numbers are actually unbelievable. .878 OPS this year while he was still in, 12 home runs, and he had 38 last year.
Do you think you have a better outfield than mine?
I would say if we were playing an actual game, I would prefer to have your three outfielders than mine.
Yeah, I think like
I think offensively my outfield is better.
Probably,
but if I were,
right,
you know, worried about players catching the ball when it comes to them defensively, which is half of the game, I would much rather have your outfield.
Word. All right. So now I want you to go through your infield. Start at catcher and then work your way counterclockwise up through first.
All right. Sure. So catcher, I have Brian McCann from the Yankees.
Wait, he's not on the team?
He's not on the team.
Oh my God.
No, McCann didn't make the team. First base, I have Chris Davis.
By the way, Tom's mic is sitting on a McCann normal head that I got from the Yankee game, and I call it a normal head because the head doesn't bobble, but his microphone is literally sitting on a Brian McCann box. What a God message. All right, go on.
First base, another one of my favorite players in the league, sarcasm inserted, Chris Davis.
Yeah, Tom hates him. Go on.
Second base, I have Rougned Odor of the Texas Rangers.
Ah, whatever. We'll talk about how he'll get along with Bautista. Go on.
Shortstop, I have Carlos Correa from the Astros, and my third baseman is Kyle Seager from the Mariners.
Ooh, that's a good team. Kyle Seager's having a really good sneaky season. I say sneaky because like he's kind of known, but he's really good, huh?
Yeah, and he plays in Seattle, so you know a lot of people aren't paying attention to him, but look, 17 home runs, 885 OPS, 56 RBI.
Damn, I didn't even know he was doing that good. Scored. And he's a good defender, no?
And listen to this. 55 strikeouts to 38 bases on balls.
Ooh.
It was a really big toss-up to me between Seager and Castellanos from the Tigers.
Yeah.
They had identical OPSs, but Seager is much better in the field. So.
And this Castellanos doesn't walk, right? He's just like, and he has a crazy good batting average, but he doesn't walk at all, right?
Yeah, he doesn't walk.
And I don't know if, you know, part of me, it was hard for me in building this team to not look at walk percentage and think about long-term success in a way, because like that seeps in my head like, oh, his goodness is more legitimate with a low BABIP, but Nick Castellanos is killing it. But anyway, what about what was it? Correa is the obvious like biggest snub of everybody's team. To some, you know, snub I say in air quotes because that's kind of corny. But I mean, he's been not as good as expected for a bit, and now he's picking it up again. He's Correa, man. That's fine. And then Chris Davis, are you ready for all those strikeouts? You hate him.
Yeah, Chris Davis is, you know, he and Bautista are probably the two players in the league that are superstars that I dislike the most just because of their approach at the plate. You know, they both sell out, you know, to hit home runs.
Right.
But, you know, my options were limited at first base, you know, in the AL.
Well, do you remember who else was even potentially, like, you were looking at? Pujols?
You have Miguel Cabrera, then you have Pujols.
I can't even think of who else is eligible right now.
Hanley Ramirez.
Oh, yeah, he's having a good year. I'm so disappointed. All right, so I'll go through my infield and we'll compare. So I have JT Realmuto at catcher.
I like that a lot.
Joey Votto at first. Gene Segura at second. Brandon Crawford at shortstop. And Anthony Rendon at third. My most clear-cut one was Brandon Crawford, even though he's a shortstop, so his WAR is going to be higher. He was ninth in WAR in the NL on Fangraphs. He has great defensive numbers, a great mullet. JT Realmuto, like his hair always looks wet, Brandon Crawford, it's kind of cool. JT Realmuto is tied with the other three All-Star catchers with a 2.2 WAR. And he hits leadoff, which is kind of cool, even though I have Gene Segura, you know?
Yeah, Realmuto is one of those players who's really yet to get his name out there, but he's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, yeah, he bats lefty too, which I like. Gene Segura,
one shocked me.
Yeah, I wanted Panic a lot more, but he has half a WAR more, and I know I don't want to keep mentioning WAR, I'll stop, but... And he has a 40% higher on base, even though his defense is worse than Panic's, and he doesn't walk. I mean, he has these steals. It was just kind of like, all right, like what I mentioned before with the Castellanos versus Seager, like part of me wants to discredit. I mean, that's a bad analogy, but if Castellanos was better numbers than Seager, then it would be like, all right, you got to go with Castellanos, even though you know it's going to fall off.
So, yeah, second base... You know, it doesn't seem that deep in the NL.
Right. After Murphy and Zobrist, it was like Segura and then Panic, and then it was all a bunch of guys with like 0.9 wins.
What about Jake Lamb from the
Yeah,
Diamondbacks?
He's in the final vote. Yeah, he has, I think, the top on base or slugging. He's like leading the NL in one of the categories, but exactly, he's in the final five. And then at Joey Votto, I love. So... Wait, let's go position by position each year. Who's your catcher, McCann?
Yeah, Brian McCann.
So that's close to Realmuto. Maybe McCann in the long run, but for the future, like maybe Realmuto.
I would actually disagree. I would prefer to have Realmuto.
Well, the grass is always greener.
The catcher in the AL, this is an interesting stat. Brian McCann is one of two American League catchers with a triple-digit OPS plus.
Ah.
The other one is Salvador Perez, who's on the team.
And Salvador Perez, by the way, got the most votes of anybody by far.
That's deserving, and he, I think, is, you know, one player at his position who's so far ahead of anybody else in his league.
Right.
That makes just a ton of sense.
Right, right.
But catcher's really not a deep position at all in the AL. You know, you have Steven Vogt, who made the team.
He DHs half the time, too.
Exactly. And, you know, honestly, McCann... even though I call myself a Yankee fan, I'm not really thrilled to have him in my lineup. He has turned into relatively a platoon player. You know, he doesn't start against lefties. So I'm not happy with that selection. I would prefer to have Real Muto.
Yeah, I'm Joey Votto I'd way rather have over Chris Davis, even though he has the home runs. Joey Votto struggled this year. I Freddie Freeman has better numbers. Freddie Freeman has a higher WAR, higher OPS. But Votto still has a higher on base because, you know, he's maybe arguably a little self-centered and wants his walks even when he should be driving in runs, so they say.
The dean of plate discipline.
Yes. He knows the strike zone. He walks around like he looks at a hot girl and he sees a box around her. Like, he always sees a strike zone. No pun intended. Like, you know, and also he's sexy and Italian and stuff. And Freddie Freeman plays against the Mets and I don't like him.
You know, he looks like you.
I know. Yeah, he does, right? I know. I was thinking that. And then Rendon was the only tough other decision. We'll move on to our pitching. But Rendon, I almost took Justin Turner, but Rendon walks a lot more, even though he strikes out more. He has 9 steals to Turner's 1, even though I don't really care about, and a slightly better defensive rating.
One of the other, you know, tough decisions for me was shortstop. Correa started off so poorly, but has really turned it up. He's at, you know, 825 OPS, 13 home runs, 8 stolen bases, 52 runs batted in, and he had a really extended drought. But the other two shortstops in the AL that could have easily made the team were 1, Troy Tulowitzki, and then 2, you might call me a homer, but Didi Gregorius, who's having arguably the best year of anybody not named Carlos Beltran for the Yankees.
When I first texted you that the idea about the exercise, you texted me Didi like right away. I guess maybe assuming Correa was on the team before you looked at it or something.
Yeah, I assumed Correa and Tulo would have made the team, but
Who are the two shortstops on the AL?
Yeah, so you have Xander Bogaerts, and then I believe they have Manny Machado in as the starting third baseman. Okay, so you have Francisco Lindor.
Oh.
But get this, they actually have Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah, because you have to have a twin, and that's why he made it. He's you know, you have to have one player from every team.
Right.
And so he's taking Correa's spot because he Brian Dozier is not that good this year. You cannot put Joe Mauer at first base, you know, his
Miguel Sano, maybe.
Yeah, but he's not even doing that well. Last year you could have. All right, so, I mean, I guess... Oh, wait, lastly, about the infield, did you talk when you interviewed these players to make your team? Did you ask Bautista how he would feel, or
Odor.
Odor was his comfort first? Like, who came first? Like, were you like, I'll worry about them getting along later, or I want Bautista, I'll make sure he's comfortable with it first?
Honestly, I didn't even make the connection that the two of them were on my team until started talking about it. But Odor,
don't you know from ESPN that clubhouse chemistry matters?
Well, it does matter, and Odor is obviously, you know, he gets the nod for me ahead of Jose Bautista,
who I
couldn't care less about. I think he's the biggest crybaby in the game.
He's a listener to the show, Tom.
I know. Jose, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is why you have a manager dealing with the players. You know, you guys in upper management don't know how to talk to the players.
My PR director will send you a care package, Jose.
A care package with a frozen peas for your face.
And Gillette razors.
Oh, my God. Yo,
For your strained left toe.
Yeah, by the way, Gillette is our sponsor. Gillette, the best a man can get. Thank you, Gillette, for sending us all that money. Yeah, I like Odor a lot. So, wait, before we go to pitching also, I want to go over how right-handed is your lineup?
Yeah, so I have Correa and then the 3 outfielders are right-handed. The rest of my lineup are lefties. McCann, Odor, Seager are all lefties. So
and Chris
it balances
Davis.
Out decently well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you hitting leadoff?
My leadoff hitter...
Odor?
I think potentially... I would I would have Lorenzo Cain as my leadoff hitter. Then I would have Odor.
Yeah.
Or I could, you know, go Correa, Odor. You know, these are all great players, so there's, you know, so many ways to go. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go Correa, and then I'm going to just get right into the meat of it. Chris Davis, Kyle Seager, Jose Bautista.
Wait, Chris Davis, you're okay with all the automatic outs? Isn't he like a typical cleanup hitter that you're willing for him to sell out a little bit with guys on base?
Yeah, I mean.
So why are you hitting him second?
Best hitter hits second.
You think he's the best hitter on your team?
At the given moment, I would say he's probably the hottest hitter. So yeah.
Well, whatever, man. These are the tough decisions you got to make as a manager. So, you know, yeah, I know, I just made Ned you Yost. The GM and you're the manager, but you know, I'm putting your feet to the fire.
The GM.
So my lineup.
I'm the GM.
My lineup is Gene.
I'm the GM.
All right, I hear you. All right, you can sit in the big boy chair. Nah, forget it. Tell me about your pitching, bro. All
right. So what do you want to hear?
I want to hear your PR, like no runs DMC, like the corny ass Yankees saying with no runs for Dellin, Miller, and what's the other guy?
Chapman. So I'll go through my starters first. The AL starting pitching is atrocious. There's no depth.
What, on the team or at left after the All-Star team, you mean?
Left after the All-Star team. Even necessarily on the team. I mean, you know, you have Chris Sale and then Cole Hamels. I mean, it's nowhere compared to the NL. You have Steven Wright from the Red Sox.
Ew!
Danny Salazar.
See,
Marco
he's having
Estrada,
a great season. Wow.
And Kluber actually just got the nod today to fill in for Estrada, who's now on the DL.
And he was your ace, you said.
Kluber was my ace, man. But he just got the nod to the real all-star team from the small star team.
What
so.
A sinker ball in your plans, no pun intended.
Yeah, so to replace that sinker ball, my starter will be throwing a splitter. I have Masahiro Tanaka.
Ah, very good. It's a good.
Then, you know, my other starters, I've got Justin Verlander.
Ooh.
And Jose Quintana. And then to round it out with two relievers, I have Aroldis Chapman and Cam Bedrosian from the Angels, who probably nobody has heard of.
Yeah,
but
I literally don't know anything about him.
How he's not on the team this year.
So is Verlander just so like Cade Upton's around the team and stuff and you could peep her out, or is he's doing well, huh? His velocity
has
went back up. Like he's just like rebounded. It's crazy. He looked like he was just gonna fall off continually and he's having a good season, man.
Yeah, he's having a great season. I mean, you know, 4.11 ERA is a little bit, I would say, deceiving when you dig into his numbers. 115 strikeouts to 29 walks.
Wow.
111 innings pitched puts him right up there with the leaders in the AL. And 3.81 FIP.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the AL pitching is not deep at all. And,
yeah.
You know, I ideally would not have Verlander. The first person to actually missed the cut for me was David Price, and he's another example where, you know, the ERA is inflated, but when you dig into the numbers and what he's done recently, he could warrant a spot on the team.
Yeah, he was doing his classic like great start, bad start, or like what was it? Yeah, I mean, you told me a year ago about like this article you read about the starters who have four good starts and then one bad one. And those affect his numbers. He also was having a lot of starts where he would have like 10 strikeouts but give up four runs. Like, and even though he's been in net gain, that is still interesting that he didn't make your team.
Jose Quintana is another one.
He's so underrated always. Like he's been consistently good the last 3 years, and he's not known that much.
3.06 ERA, 3.21 FIP, 111 innings pitched. And then
you just got to face this way.
Tanaka you know, for as much as New York fans hate on him, he's actually having an amazing year.
If you look at his game log, it's so consistent, too. Like looking in fantasy at his game log, it's the same. It's like four hits, one or two runs, like five hits, you know, four strikeouts. Like, he's awesome.
Coming off an amazing performance against the White Sox, 112 innings pitched, 3.12 ERA, 1.05 whip, 3.23 FIP. You know, he's up there with the best starting pitchers in the league, and I think if the Yankees didn't have other all-stars, he definitely would have had a spot on this team.
All right, so you did your best to defend your pitching, but get ready to get crushed, my lad. You have no idea the pain that's about to hit you when I whip out Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom, Steven Matz, Matt Harvey, Bartolo Colon. I have a Mets jersey on right now. And Drew Pomeranz. I know that's six.
Matt Harvey, really?
Matt Harvey is in the top 20. I forget the number. Oh, my God. He was still, like, in war. He was still, like, better than he's top 20 in the NL in pitchers. So there was enough of an excuse to make the homer pick to put him in based on what he's done. Also, I thought it could help his morale,
his confidence,
not knowing that he might have a career-ending injury, which was just found out about, you know, the other day, right?
Yeah.
So, but Max Scherzer was, you know, the clearest.
That's shocking that he didn't make the team.
Yeah, I know, and he didn't make anything. And I think part of it was I forget who it was, but there was clearly a player or two that were just fitting the one player per team like rule or whatever.
Right.
And since the Nationals have Rendon and Harper and whatever, it's and Strasburg. But there's so many good starters in the NL that there's just, it makes sense that some great pitcher like him was going to get put off with Arrieta, what's his name? Syndergaard, obviously. The dude on the Dodgers, I forget his name.
Kershaw.
I'm joking. No. And, John Lester made it.
Yeah, Lester's been having arguably the best year of his career.
Yeah,
this
is everything they could have hoped for when they bought him.
Until he just got smashed this past start.
Right.
Against the Mets, actually, which is even more embarrassing.
Well, hey, you know, we're not batting John Mayberry in the cleanup spot like a year ago. So Steven Matz is having a great year. His starts, he's doing almost like the 4-1, but not even real. Like he's just been so good. Except hopefully the Mets don't ruin his arm. DeGrom is based on his past, really. Like, he's not as good as he has been the last 2 years, but he's still DeGrom. And Bartolo is a power-hitting, like potentially long reliever, flexible. You know, he could DH when we're in an AL park. He can do anything. He's really the all-purpose Bart.
Yeah, I think out of those, I think Matz is probably the most deserving, and he kind of gets overshadowed by the other guys, but you know my thoughts on DeGrom. I think he's going to have a huge second half. He had, you know, I don't know what to call it, personal or family issues concerning, you know, like the birth of his first child.
Mm-hmm.
His velocity was down a tick. But in his last start, he looked like DeGrom of last year when he would take the ball and go 8 or 9 innings and give up one run.
Yeah, man. Like the games in the playoffs, in the game in L.A., he was just so good. Drew Pomeranz is another one. I don't have his numbers in front of me because I'm bad at preparing. But, no, he's really been good. You know, the show, the video game, upped him from like an 80 to 85 in gold. So, all right. So, overall, you like my team better, no?
I would say, coming into this, I really thought that the NL had a lot more depth beyond the actual All-Star team, but your infield to me is so surprising.
Yeah.
How weak it is.
Yeah.
And this obviously isn't a knock on you personally.
No, it is. It's personal.
The fact that Gene Segura made it, to me, you know, I think that overall your pitching is obviously better. Your outfield is
slightly better, maybe, in a real game, yeah.
But I think that my infield in particular just crushes
yours. Yeah, Odor, Seager, you kill my third base. Seager over Rendon, Odor over Segura, and Correa over Crawford, although I love Crawford. And even Chris Davis over Votto, you could say. I mean, there's an argument to be made there. It's close. So, I mean, now it's just what do you think the line would be if our two teams played? Like, what do you like? So, would you say pitching and better defense wins games, or you know, like you're a bunch of sellout guys with okay pitching, with Verlander giving up a couple homers?
Yeah, I would say that your team would probably be favored.
Yeah, like what? What -135, -140,
-130.
Yeah. So I'm a better person than you is what we could take away from this exercise, no?
Yeah, but I'm the GM.
All right.
As long as I'm the GM.
Word. So that's it, man. This is a shorter episode. And it's all good. We'll do another one on Monday, I promise. But enjoy the All-Star game. And for the Cap Figure podcast, what's your name?
Tom McLaughlin.
And I'm Ryan DiPaolo. Goodbye.